Bookkeeping, is that something you actually enjoy doing in your practice? Do you enjoy getting off work at 6 p.m. and paying bills and reconciling and going into your bank account and producing P&Ls? I highly doubt it. And I'm sure most of you listening to this have bookkeeping nightmares. It's tax time, you got to pay stuff, and you're so disorganized. Or at least I was at one point in my career. So we have two experts on here. We have Kat Norris, who is a professional bookkeeper in the Kansas City area. And we have Tim Emerson. He's the CEO of Emerson & Company, who helps with all things business-related, HR, payroll, you name it. So we're going to have a discussion about how to take the bookkeeping nightmares out of your life and how to get organized here. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
Thank you, Perry.
Kat, you are a professional bookkeeper, and you work with some optometrists already.
Yep.
When optometrists, when you take that initial call from somebody, how does it go? What are their complaints? What are their fears? And what are they asking from you?
Well, usually it's just sort of what you said in the introduction, which is that, you know, I feel like I'm constantly running to catch up. I feel like things aren't organized. I don't understand how to make it more streamlined or simplify. And one of the things that I really like to do with people is just help them see that, you know, in the end, it's money coming in and it's money going out. And with connectivity now and technology, there is no reason that you can't feel like you're staying more on top of things. And if you get a little bit of help, there are just so many ways now to streamline and connect things like bank accounts and credit cards with QuickBooks and or other accounting software that will just make things so much faster. I mean, I feel like there is no reason that most companies can't have at least a semi-recent, within the last month or so, P&L and balance sheet at the click of a button. I mean, they're just so it's so easy to be connected now. And yeah. And I think that's the thing to really key in with people is that we can streamline this and get it set up and you know, make it so that it's so much easier and you don't have to be quite so stressed out about it.
Right, right. You know, I always say a good optometrist will bill out $500 to $1,000 an hour. That's gross charges. Now, when that optometrist sits down to do bookkeeping, they're working at a much, much lower wage.
Yeah.
Which is scary. It's like, why are you doing this? Go play with your kids. Go on vacation. You know, shoot some hoops. So, yeah. Tim, you're the master of efficiency outsourcing. Why should a professional outsource? Let's define that.
Well, the number one reason professionals should outsource is that the value of them out in the world, as opposed to being in a dark office somewhere doing books, is 10 times greater. I'm very involved in the community in Kansas City through different chamber of commerces and Rotary Club. And I can't tell you how many times people say, oh, I saw him out or something like that. And they get to know you. And people want to work with people that they know and trust. Take Dr. Raymond Brill, for instance. He's involved in the Kansas City Breakfast Club and many other organizations. But he's really putting himself out there so people recognize, you know, Brill Eye Center. The other thing is there's a great opportunity here. The pandemic has allowed a lot of us to work remotely. I have found that there's a lot of talented bookkeepers that like the flexibility to be able to work from home. And we're able to connect those two and allow both teams to really get what they want. The doctor wants to grow his practice and the bookkeeper wants to have that flexibility and be able to work remotely. And we've been able to make that match.
Okay. So Kat, what should an optometrist or even an optical only, what should they be able to pull from bookkeeping? What is the reason they should have clean books? I mean, let's just break it into like the most simplest, explain it like a fifth grader.
Oh gosh. I mean, it's really simple. You should be able to look in a snapshot and know how much money you're bringing in and how much it's costing you to run your business. you know, what's your cost of goods? So that's like your frames and your lenses and that kind of thing versus what's your payroll or what's your overhead, what's your rent? You should just be able to see that, and you should be able to see it over time. So comparing it month to month, year over year, that would be the first thing, is just that quick visual of what is the financial wealth of your company, wealth and health. And then the second thing would be that you can have a CPA that is doing your taxes. And I always recommend that you have a separate company that does your taxes from who does your bookkeeping. That's a good business practice, so that you have another set of eyes and you're making sure that you have a backstop for a check and balance. You know, checks and balances are really important in running your business. And so then you have that person that you, but you can hand that information to them, and you're spending half as much time and money to get your taxes ready, and your taxes are ready like that. I mean, most businesses are going to need, you know, that the financial stuff of their business done before they can do maybe their personal taxes. And so, you know, you want to get that information in January or February. You don't want to be waiting until April to get your business taxes ready so that you can do your personal taxes.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I love the idea of having that buffer and having two parties. Now, Tim, we talked about this, and your brain just thinks differently on this, and I love it. So let's say you're in a major metro, Austin, Texas, you're in LA, you're in New York, you're in Boston. I'm assuming bookkeepers in those areas cost more money because it's just a higher cost of living. Now, how can we be comfortable working with a bookkeeper that I've never met? I've only seen them through the screen or talked to them. How do I actually make sure they're qualified? They're not going to screw me. And let's talk about their wages. What are we going to have to pay them?
Yeah. So great point. You know, Jane Doe Bookkeeper LLC, if you're trying to vet them, you don't know if they have insurance and everything in place with Emerson & Company. We obviously have all that insurance is in place. We're a real brick and mortar entity. We do payroll, bookkeeping, merchant services, and insurance. And back to the point with your question of why do we outsource bookkeeping, to me is it's not so much about having the books ready for the accountant and everything run smoothly. To me is, to Kat's point, is that we can proactively run those metrics. Hopefully you're having a brief meeting with that bookkeeper, whether it's monthly or quarterly, where he or she is watching those key metrics that practice is wanting to watch and can alert them ahead of time of opportunities possibly or concerns that the practice may not be going in the right direction. So, and of course, to your point, the cost of goods, you know, in the Midwest, it's a good place to raise a family, and our lease, our wages, our housing is significantly less. So, many times we're having a conversation about payroll and they learn that we offer bookkeeping. And when they find out that we can all do this at a fraction of the cost of where they're doing it locally, it's like a weight has been lifted off their shoulder. Now, as you pointed out, Perry, they can either spend more time with their family or networking or growing their business.
Right. All right, Kat. So how do we vet a bookkeeper? How do we know they're doing a good job? Because it's just kind of like luck. Obviously, I know how to pay bills and I know how to do a few bookkeeping things. But for me to go into my bank account and reconcile things, it's crazy. You know, if you look at an optometrist or any medical provider's bank account, the number of transactions is just incredible. You have all these insurance payments like constantly. And it's like, how could you ever reconcile that? You need someone, a professional for that.
Well, you do, in the sense that you really do, you know, like you said, you want to make sure that things that are on your balance sheet, like loans or equipment, you know, that stuff is being accounted for correctly. And yes, the sheer number of transactions for a lot of these offices is quite large. But with the downloading from your bank or for your credit card, it's really about transactional awareness and the categorization of those transactions and just making sure they're getting categorized correctly. So there are, so what, and then what you do is, so that's like job one of the bookkeeper. And then there's the check and balances that, you know, if you are, if you have a good bookkeeper should be ready and willing and accepting of review. They should be encouraging you to constantly have reporting and review of what's going on. And as the business owner, as you review it more and you're not in the weeds trying to actually do the categorization and all and pay the bills, you start to be able to step back and look at it sort of and go, wow, this month, why would that be so much higher, that category? Or, you know, last year we didn't spend that much. So that's a check and balance. So good reporting, those P&Ls, those balance sheets, and learning how to read them correctly and know what you should be looking for. And then there's other things like the same person who's running your books should not be the person who's signing your checks. You know, simple things like that would is a check and balance to keep everybody on the right path and everybody up where they should be. And then the other thing that's so great now about connectivity is, you know, something's not going right. If it's not working, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. And if it's not working, you just turn their access off. And
yeah.
You know, and it can be that simple. And, but really it's about checks and balances and knowing what to look for.
Okay. So Tim, I know you're a big proponent of never being left in the dust. And what I mean by that is you recently onboarded a client and they were doing bookkeeping in-house, but I think an employee quit or they're on their way out. And at that point, it's panic mode. How are you going to do your books? Because they don't want to get behind, right? So how do we prevent this panic mode of losing an employee who's been doing your books?
Yeah, so there's really three issues there going on. One time we find that a lot of people can outsource rather than having a full-time employee at $40 an hour, actually outsourcing and getting that work done in a fraction of the time. You know, I have somebody say, well, I'm really looking for a good bookkeeper, but I also need her to help me with my scheduling and do some administrative work. Well, that sounds like a really expensive administrator. So I also want to talk a little bit about, you know, you'd mentioned how do we determine whether we've got a good bookkeeper. I highly encourage people that own their business to claim their Google space, look at those Google reviews. And one additional step that we do is that we, as I'd mentioned, carry professional liability, or some may know it as errors and omission. We add our clients as an additional insured, they're named on our policy, and we give them a copy of that policy to know it's in place. And then the other thing is that, you know, you want that bookkeeper to be responsive. Part of that is in the setup, all up front. So sometimes business owners have a certain expectation, and unless that's addressed in a discovery call, at Emerson & Company, we do a brief discovery call with all of our clients, no obligation. Whether they hire us or not, we kind of set each other's expectations. And then from that point, we put together an engagement letter. They acknowledge, yes, that's the work that we want to have done. And then what's unique about us is that we don't have a set contract. Like, for instance, you're not obligated to work with us for a year.
Yeah. Now how are you gauging the monthly bill? So my dad, Brill Life Center, we bookkeep through you. And, you know, we just pay a flat monthly rate. But so how do you actually gauge what we're going to pay?
Yeah, so typically the way that works is that there's an initial setup. So and depending exactly how that discovery call goes, it may be that, hey, we've got some cleanup work to do and it's difficult to gauge the hours. So typically we'll do it by an hourly rate. And then a lot of our customers will say, you know what, I really like the idea of settling in on a monthly retainer. That way I can budget it. That way I don't have to worry about the fact that somebody's just billing me for the sake of billing me. But it typically takes about a quarter or so to kind of get settled into that. You know, Kat may have a different look at it, but I think that's really the most honest way to address it, because until we really are in there working, we don't have a clean idea of what it entails.
Looking for affordable, high-quality eyewear at a $19 wholesale price point that you could sell for $100 or more retail? Well, let me tell you about Vernon Gantry. It's a frame brand developed by two New York City optometrists named Scott and Pauline. And their goal was to help fellow eye care professionals compete in the ever-changing market. The warbyization, the Zinni.com. Everyone's going online to get cheap eyewear, and it's truly cheap and low quality. So what they did is they made their own frame line about 3 years ago now, actually. They eliminated the sales reps, the licensing fees, advertising costs, and employed traditional eyewear companies to manufacture their products. And these are really high quality Chinese production. And I 100% vouch for this brand. No spring hinges, quality acetates, awesome metals. And this actually feels like a brand. You know those other brands, the cheapo frame lines you get and kind of like welfare quality or a little above welfare. This completely blows it out of the water. Comes with a nice leatherette folding case. Go to the show notes in the podcast app here. Request a free frame. I will allow you to check it out, feel it, wear it, look at the quality of it, and you will want to bring in 30 pieces of this right away. 30 pieces is probably around $600 or so. And again, you're going to get 5-6x markup out of these. They come with warranties. They're all new, great bread and butter styles with even lots of color if you want that. And guess what? Vernon Gantry has kids' frames too. Go to the link in the show notes, request that frame, fill out the form, and this will forever change your practice. You can make great package pricing out of these frames. You can use them with insurance. And, you know, it's even great for second pairs, because sometimes people may buy a $600 pair for the first pair, but the second pair, they just want like $150 frame and lens, and this is perfect for it. This is going to be your highest quality fashionable frame in the $19 price point. It will blow all the other budget companies out of the water. Give it a look.
Now, I'll just let everybody know, it's not crazy expensive to get a bookkeeper. All of us pay monthly fees, and we have software, EHRs, we have web security, we have appointment reminder systems, we have a zillion systems in our office. One more subscription fee is not going to kill you. It's just going to save you time. Kat, I want to talk about cleaning up the books, because everyone who hires a bookkeeper knows their books are messy. And they're like, oh man, this is going to be so embarrassing. I don't know how Kat's ever going to know what to do. How do you go through that cleanup?
Well, I mean, it really can vary. I've seen some that are really, really, really sad and ugly. And I've seen some that people thought, oh, this is terrible. And you get in there and they're like, no, 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 you've actually done this pretty well. You just need to like rearrange how. Most of the time where people are getting confused or getting a problem is that they don't understand how QuickBooks, let's say QuickBooks, that's what I work in the most small businesses, but how the balance sheet and the P&L really talk to each other or don't talk to each other, one of the two. And then the difference between your cash flow, the money that's coming in and the money that's going out, versus what you should see on your P&L versus what you should see on your balance sheet. Most of the time, if there's a problem or overall balances aren't looking correct or things like that, it's that transaction. So most things, if you dig into it a little bit, you can actually unwind the ball of twine. And you start pulling little strings out here and there, and it will like, sometimes it just all opens up and unravels, and other times you're like, okay, yeah, we got bigger problems. We need to do some real triage here.
Yeah, when I switched to Tim's bookkeeping service, I know my bookkeeper is like, hey, here's 200 items. I have no clue what these are. It was like different vendors because the vendor name didn't necessarily say what the service was, and that was part of the cleanup process, and it was fairly simple.
The other thing, and I'll just say the other thing that happens that a lot of these software systems have is if you take the time in the beginning and identify the vendor the right way, it will actually remember it. And it will repeat that going forward. So if you always have a contact lens vendor and it's always the same, if you just remember that, the QuickBooks will continue and you just build on this base and it just makes things so much quicker.
Yeah. Now, how important is the chart of accounts set up, you know, organizing that?
I mean, it's important because it's really the way that that QuickBooks feeds your reports. And, you know, some people really want to get down into the details and can almost be too.
They're like, here's my print marketing, here's my digital marketing, here's my.
So it is a real fine line for, and those charts of accounts can get totally out of control, especially if it's been a business that's been in business for a while. So bringing in a new set of eyes is a good way sometimes to sort of take a look at something and say, you know, do you really need to know that there's 7 different ways that you can spend money in print advertising? You know, like every place you go to send your, you know, every vendor has their own chart, part of the chart. Or do you just need to know, I spend this much on print advertising? You know, I mean, as a business owner, so it's really important that you kind of reassess it every once in a while and make sure that it's really answering the questions that you have as a business owner on how your business is running.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you can't access those details. You know, when you're showing that probably to a banker for growth, or you may be showing it to somebody that's considering buying your practice, and a muddied or complicated chart of accounts well, really opens up a Pandora's box of all these things that, you know, may be going wrong. You know, back to your point, Perry, about CPA versus bookkeeper, you know, there's, if you think a bookkeeper's expensive, try paying a CPA to do your bookkeeping. In essence, that's what happens a lot of times. One of the great things during that discovery call is things like cash versus accrual, how they do their accounting. The other issue is that we find that we may have a business that isn't using the correct software, or the software is not designed to manage multiple warehouses or something like that. So it could be that you're on QuickBooks Online and really you need maybe more of a desktop version of Pro or Premier or Enterprise, something like that. So
can you manage a 10 location chain?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we're doing that right now. We have, you know, Kat mentioned the different versions of QuickBooks. We work with Xero, we work with HouseCall, lots of different proprietary software or industry specific software. But my point is that making sure that during that discovery process, it may be that somebody just bought QuickBooks Online because that's what their neighbor did or somebody else did and familiar with it. And they might have initially bought it just to set up doing invoicing or something like that. And now they're reaching out to a bookkeeper and they've got the cart in front of the horse. The purpose of that discovery call is to make sure that we're doing best practices.
Okay. Now, can we scale up and scale down with you? What I mean by that is a lot of people are like, I don't want to pay the bills. Can you pay the bills? Can you do everything? And some people might just say, hey, I just want, you know, a sliver of my bookkeeping done. So do we have flexibility that way?
Of course, we have clients that work, as little as 2 or 3 hours per month. And then we have a couple of accounts that we're on site, you know, 1 or 2 days a week. So it can be as little or as much, you know, as the client wants.
Okay. Now, Kat, how do we, I know with the IRS, you know, the crazy rules, we got to keep every freaking receipt, right? How are you helping, you know, teach and mentor people, you know, receipt management? Do you use some type of app? Are you having them email to you or just keep them in a folder?
It varies. I mean, it really depends on the business and how, you know, for example, if they have an on-site admin person that can, you know, collect those, keep them somewhat organized and, you know, simple. Other ones are, there's a lot of people out in the field. They have constant, you know, they're having to buy stuff and all this stuff. They, you know, they might do better with an app that they can take a picture of the receipt and it immediately uploads and syncs and, you know, kind of filters it into the reconciling with the statement. So it just really depends, but that's the nice thing about technology now is that, you know, you can be either fairly manual, and that really does work for a lot of places. They don't need, everybody's coming into a central office. It's easy for them to pull that receipt out of their wallet and hand it to the admin person, or it's better for them to really be, you know, connecting onto an app and recording it digitally.
Yeah, I use an app called Dext, D-E-X-T, or I think it was called Receipt Bank in the past. And it just snapped a pic. I think it has some like AI with it. It's able to read the characters. The moment that receipt goes in my pocket, it's lost. Like, it's like there's a ghost that reaches in there, you know, and it's gone. So I'm anal about taking pictures right away.
Yep.
All right, what are the final points we should know about, you know, changing bookkeepers and getting onboarding?
Well, I think for me, the key is don't be afraid. Just, you know, I think
just
people feel like they're like, it's going to be, you know, it's going to take this big, you know, time commitment, and they're going to need to like, you know, work really hard at it. And this needs to be a focus and da da da. And I think the point should be that, you know, just dive in. A lot of times the way that we can assess you the best is to get into your books, take a look at it. We can then give you an assessment and say, look, you're actually in pretty good shape. Here's what it's going to take to get this ship righted. Or you're doing everything still on a paper ledger. And we need to.
I don't think there's any of those. There could be though.
And, you know, and we need to get you up to date and get everything connected. And, you know, we've done it. It's totally possible. And you just need to give a little bit of faith and just say it's time.
Yeah. It's like getting your house, hiring a house cleaner to come in every 2 weeks or something. You're like, you realize that you don't miss cleaning. You don't miss the book.
Right.
No.
Kat's pretty humble. My message is be coachable. You know, she's saying jump in. That's why we do that discovery call. It's no threat. You're not on the clock. You're sharing with us what your concerns are with your business, and the bookkeeper is going to digest that information and lay out a plan. And what I'm saying is be open to their plan. They're working with lots of companies. You're typically have only managed maybe one or two businesses in the past. Be coachable, be open to the new technologies, the new solutions that are out there, and have a plan to flourish. That's my final message, really.
Okay. I just want to end up, I know everybody listening is like, oh, how much is it going to cost? I would say I'm going to throw a range out there. Maybe for a typical optometry practice, anywhere from $200 to $1,000 a month, depending on size of practice, right? And locations. I know it's a broad range, but.
I can address that. If I had to say a sweet spot, we're probably somewhere in between $50 and $120 an hour. I would say that with Emerson and Company, we have an incredible partnership with the university here locally. And we have interns that can provide some data entry work and things like that. And so instead of having somebody like Kat with her expertise handle everything, including the data entry, we can have a blended rate that is so much more competitive than what they would be doing if they're just working with a major CPA firm. And,
Right. That makes sense. For someone to click a few buttons of, I don't know, transferring Amex statements into QuickBooks, you know, that takes you can teach that in 10 minutes, but you can't teach Kat's reconciling skills.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, how do people get in touch? How do they get in touch with you, Tim, to get at least a consultation?
Yeah, so a couple of ways to do it. One would be just to send an email to books, B-O-O-K-S, at Emerson, Emerson-co.com, or they can reach us here at the office, 816-360-9092, and we can get them off to a quick start.
Cool. I'll put that information in the show notes, everybody, and even a form. So if you just want to be antisocial and just fill out a few things, Tim will get your information here. But no, I've used your services, Tim, for, I don't know, 5 years probably, and including payroll
insurance, and I don't know, do we do anything else through you? Bookkeeping?
Merchant services, insurance, payroll. And
merchant services.
Yeah, I think we've got it all.
I'm paying for that new child's college fund.
On our website at emerson-co.com, you certainly could go in and just type in iRocket. We'll know that we've connected. We have a great relationship with Perry, and it'd be nice to see who made those introductions. We appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. And I'm glad we could talk books. So
thanks, Perry.
Bye.
What up, iTrepreneurs? Hey, all of our practices, we love 5-star Google reviews. I'll tell you what I like. I like 5-star podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts. Please head over there. Drop a 5-star review if you love us, a 1-star if you think I should take a hike to Mexico and get a margarita. But seriously, this helps other people find the podcast and read about it and listen it and get some insider business tips. Thank you.